Chapter 10. Dr. Sloper's Decision. The next afternoon, the doctor stayed at home and waited for Mr. Townsend's visit. Morris Townsend was quite serene when he arrived.
"Catherine told me yesterday what has been going on between you,"
the doctor said.
"You should have spoken to me about your intentions before. It was only the other day that Catherine met you."
"It was not long ago, certainly,"
said Morris.
"My interest in Miss Sloper began the first time I saw her."
"Did it not perhaps begin before you met her?"
the doctor asked. Morris looked at him an instant.
"I had certainly already heard that she was a charming girl."
"A charming girl. That's what you think of her. As Catherine's father, I appreciate her many good qualities, but I have never thought of her as a charming girl,"
said the doctor.
"I speak from my own point of view,"
replied Morris.
"You speak very well,"
said the doctor.
"But that is not all that is necessary. I told Catherine yesterday that I do not approve of her engagement."
"She told me, and I was very sorry to hear it. I am greatly disappointed,"
said Morris, who sat in silence for a while, looking at the floor.
"Did you really expect me to say I was delighted, and throw my daughter into your arms?"
"Oh, no. I had an idea that you didn't like me."
"What gave you the idea?"
"The fact that I am poor."
"It is certainly a fact I must consider. You are without a position, visible resources, or prospects. You are not a suitable husband for my daughter, who is a weak young woman with a large fortune."
Morris listened respectfully.
"I don't think Miss Sloper is a weak woman,"
he said.
"I have known my child for 20 years, and you have known her for 6 weeks. Even if she were not weak, you would still be a penniless man."
"Yes, that is my weakness. You think I only want your daughter's money."
"I don't say that. I simply say that you belong to the wrong category."
"But your daughter doesn't marry a category. She marries an individual,"
Townsend said with a handsome smile.
"An individual who offers so little in return."
"Is it possible to offer more than tender affection and lifelong devotion?"
the young man asked.
"Fine words,"
said the doctor.
"But you are still the wrong kind of man."
"You think I would spend her money, don't you?"
asked Morris.
"Yes, I think you would."
Morris continued to display great self-control, although his disappointment was obvious.
"I confess that I have been wild and foolish. If you like, I will tell you every crazy thing I ever did. But I have changed now. I spent my own fortune because it was my own. That does not mean I would spend Miss Sloper's fortune. I would take good care of it."
"Taking too much care would be as bad as taking too little care. Catherine might suffer as much by your economy as by your extravagance,"
declared the doctor.
"I think you are very unjust,"
said the young man.
"Do you want to make your daughter miserable?"
"She will most likely think I am cruel for a year."
"A year?"
exclaimed Morris with a laugh.
"For a lifetime, then. She will be miserable either way, with you or without you."
Here, at last, Morris got angry.
"You are not polite, sir,"
he cried.
"You argue too much. I cannot accept you as a son-in-law, and I shall advise Catherine to give you up."
"Are you sure your daughter will give me up?"
"No, I am not sure of it, but I shall strongly recommend it. My daughter has a great sense of respect, affection, and duty towards her father. I think it is extremely possible."
"I don't think she will. She has gone too far to stop,"
Morris insisted. The doctor looked at Morris and said,
"You are very impertinent."
"I will say no more, sir,"
said Morris, and he left the room.